Hi and welcome to the Travel Hero podcast by ITB. Are you ready to reveal some superpowers of the great minds of the tourism industry? Here's your host, Nico Gutia.
My guest today is Cash. Cash, you got one of those names everybody's afraid to say, so please say it yourself.
That's the reason I call myself Cash. It's Bhattacharya.
Oh, it sounds so easy.
Yeah, it just rolls off the tongue. Think of a butcher and some chariot and something like that.
For people who heard your name first time ever, who are you?
I am the founder and publisher behind The Budget Traveler, which is a blog about how to travel in style on a budget.
You're very successful, so I can't understand why you're not smiling while saying this.
Okay. It's been a long day. A long day. First day of ITV. Yeah, if there was some vodka in the water, then maybe I might have been smelling more. Joke.
You said if anybody had told you 9 years ago you could make a living out of it, you would have said you were a damn crazy man.
Yeah, you've been doing your research. Yeah, I would have said they believed in fairies. It's an amazing feeling to have been coming to ITV for so long. And 8 years ago when I mentioned that I was a blogger, people would we're not sure about social media. What's a blog?
What is this internet everybody's talking about?
Yeah. And we've come a long way, and ITB has been a big part of my success. They've been fantastic supporters and helped me on my journey.
And before we're talking about your new book, please tell me about the day you decide to become a blogger, travel blogger.
It just didn't happen by choice. It was a point of time in my life when my business had failed. I used to publish a magazine in Scotland about student issues, and it was successful for a while, and then the recession came in 2005, and then the business was dependent on advertising revenues, and the whole thing crashed. And I was working three jobs, working in a bar, working in a bookstore, and working in advertising. And in the evenings, my only moment of happiness would be when I would get home and I would write about memories, places I'd visited. And I always wanted to be a travel writer, and I couldn't afford to publish a magazine because I obviously had no money at that time. So somebody said, oh, you should start a blog. And I was like, oh, I'm not sure about this whole blogging thing. And I started the blog as a kind of a joke, just to prove my friend wrong. And here I am.
Yeah, this was a short trip. Tell me, the first blog entry ever, what was it about?
Oh, something really terrible.
Actually, going to details.
It wasn't too bad. It was about my trip to Tuscany. I'd gone to a small place called Cataldo, which is halfway between Siena and Florence. And I went to this amazing hostel that used to be a monastery. And it still had that monastic feeling, but it was amazing. It was beautiful, large rooms. And the toilet was the best part. You'd sit in the toilet and you'd see the whole beautiful Tuscan countryside.
Whoa.
So a hostel with a view, you know. And that's how I fell in love with hostels, I guess. And I wrote my book.
Well. Did you learn how to write or did you just do it?
I don't know. I guess I practiced. I wrote a lot. I wrote a lot of crap. I wrote a lot of good things. But I think everything in life is, the more you work on it, you can be good at anything.
The German newspaper says about your new book, the times when hostels were considered low-cost decents are over. You proved it. Tell me a little bit about your book and what's it named.
It's called The Grand Hostels, Luxury Hostels of the World. And my mission as somebody who writes about budget travel, it's always been seen as cheap travel. It's not sexy.
Always.
It's about, you know, smelly backpackers with pimple faces and crowded dorms and not fun. And I always felt that, you know, there's something missing here. And I started doing my research back in 2012. And I went to Lisbon. And this was before Lisbon was known. And I saw these amazing hostels that artists were creating and designing. And these were great design, beautiful rooms, 10 euros a night. And then you'd have these amazing experiences, like they would do this dinner with locals where a local Portuguese chef would cook you a three-course dinner with a bottle of wine for 10 euros. And I was like,
that's
wow.
That's a lie.
Why does nobody in the world know about this? And it all started in Lisbon, and then it kind of spread. And even here in Berlin, you have the Circus Hostel, which is a great hostel, which has a museum for David Hasselhoff and its own microbrewery. And I realized that all these hostels were not just rooms to sleep in. They were offering experiences. And that's where I felt the trend in travel was going a few years ago. And it's now become, it's all about experience. That's the watchword you see in on all these talks I've been hearing today. So
like cooking becomes an event, traveling becomes much more experience. Crazy.
And I documented that.
The hostels you have chosen for your book, is this from the very beginning or like the last 3 years?
A lot of these hostels were what I discovered back again in 2012 in Lisbon, but they have been, I've been visiting over the last 8-9 years. But a lot of the hostels in the book are relatively new. Particularly in Japan, there's a couple of fabulous hostels in Japan, like the Millennials in Kyoto, the 36 Hostel in Hiroshima. These are all new, and this hosteling craze is kind of really taking the East. And I guess that's, it's kind of started in Europe, and Europe's always been the kind of lead in that respect. And now it's heading to the States. You've got Generator opening in Washington in September. So, yeah, the world of hosteling, it's spreading.
Kesha, and if now a young female or male person came to you and say, Kesha, I want to be a blogger too. What have I to do? What should I do? What will you say?
I would say try and be original. Don't try and copy, because I see a lot of people copying other people and trying to take the elevator to success. But there's no shortcuts to success in life and in blogging especially. You have to really work hard. You have to really be passionate, and you have to really try and write about something that's new and fresh, because I think everybody, it's too much crap in the world, and the world doesn't need more content. It needs original good content, and I think that would be my main message.
And more light. What was the hardest, most unexpected part of your career until now?
The hardest challenge was trying to convince that I can be of value and worth to the industry.
Oh.
Coming to ITB, not being the guy in the suit, but the guy who just writes and talks about travel and writes on the internet and doesn't have a physical publication. Which publication are you from?
You don't have a book?
Yeah.
Who are you?
Where's your press card? Trying to explain the value and merit of what we do. That's what we've been doing every year at ITB, is coming and showing that this is what we do. We have created campaigns. We've written books. We've won awards for our ideas. And we've really, I believe we've made a positive impact, and we're nice people too. I think it's also the other most important thing is that people need to like you as a person before.
2016, you were the travel blogger of the year, chosen by National Geographic. What was this for a day when you got that news?
Yeah, that was a very surreal day when I was in this beautiful hotel in London, design hotel, I can't remember the name of, and my name got popped out the envelope, and National Geographic Traveler's editor said, and the blogger of the year, what goes to Kesha Bhattacharya? And then I'm like paralyzed in fear, and then smiling like a crocodile in front of the camera when they say, oh, please smile. And then Michael Palin, if you know Michael Palin, the world-famous traveler, Monty Python, he was the honorary awardee of the night, and he came up to me and said, congratulations. And I was like, he's one of my biggest heroes. And for him to come up and hug me, and it's just like the weirdest, surrealist moment. And sometimes need to look at the photographs again, and that really happened, you know.
So oh, you're smiling.
Yeah. It's always, it will stay with me till the day I die. It's just a great memory of a great evening, and nice to get that recognition from the readers of National Geographic Traveler. So
where will you be in 10 years? Still checking out hostels all over the world?
I see myself still traveling the world and still remaining curious, still wanting to discover more, still wanting to eat like a pig and drink like a fish and meet people and always broaden my horizons. I think once you have this passion for travel and for people and for food and for all those things that travel brings to you, it stays with you till the day I die. So I'm going to be doing this till somebody puts me in a coffin.
Can you point a place in the world which is the most beautiful?
Oh, tough question. Japan for me is the most amazing country in the world. It's just it's so beautiful, modern yet rural. It's got the contrast, it's got the history, and the people are so nice in Japan. And yeah, food, culture, and it's like a step into the future also. It's pretty cool.
What is the best about the travel business?
The people.
Yeah?
This is the people's business. It's all about people. It's the best people you can meet. People who travel, people who love travel, people who talk travel, they are the most empathetic and nicest people. And
so this means the nicest people on earth are listening to this?
Are listening to this. They are in this building. They are here. That includes you. That includes me. And yeah, we live in weird, dark times. I think the spirit of travel, the importance of travel, it's more important than ever. So yeah, keep traveling and keep curious and keep loving the people you meet.
People who start working in this business, do you think they need a bright light in their heart, or do they need something else?
I think they got it. I think if they're doing this for a living, they found out the secret in life. I don't need to tell them anything.
Who needs to hear this talk?
Anybody who loves travel, anybody who works in travel, anybody who wants to travel, anybody who wants to write about travel, this is hopefully some useful words in here that will stay with you hopefully for some time to come.
And who is your personal superhero?
She's the lady standing outside the car, my girlfriend Sabrina. She's my inspiration. She's the person I share my adventures with. She's the person I get up every day because of her, and she...
And she's beautiful, though, you can say that.
She's beautiful inside and out, and she puts a smile on me every day, and life is always great with her.
How long are you together?
2 years now.
2 years now?
Yeah, I met her at ITB, around ITB 2 years ago.
Ah, it's an ITB love.
Yeah.
Is she with you on your trips?
Yes, she does all the videos for all my clients, so... It's great to have.
Wow, you got a partner in crime.
Exactly.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. So you're happy?
Can you not see me smiling? Can you not hear me smiling?
I hear you smiling. Tej, thank you very much for being in. Have a great time.
Thank you, man.
Thanks for listening to the Travel Hero podcast by ITB. If you like what you heard, make sure to check in soon again and subscribe to our channel to know when it's time to reveal another Travel Hero story.